Let us pray. O gracious and most holy God, we thank you for opening the scripture to all of us this morning. And now may the words that I speak and the meditations of our own hearts always be pleasing and always be acceptable unto you, for you are my Lord, you are my rock, and you are my gracious and holy Redeemer. Amen. Well, Jesus offered the most memorable and enduring words to Martha. I am the resurrection and I am the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet they shall live again. You see, this is the same Martha in another gospel, if you recall, who welcomed Jesus in her home, and she was so busy preparing food. And then, according to the scripture, her sister Mary decided, well, I want to listen to what Jesus has to say. And Martha was so upset and scolded Jesus. Are you allowing this to happen? And so there was a very interesting conversation between Jesus, Martha, and Mary. And Jesus simply said, well, she has chosen the better portion. And so when we read the scripture at this time, Lazarus was ill. And so Martha was so concerned about what is happening, so she sent word to Jesus. Apparently, Jesus was in the vicinity. And when Jesus heard about what the news was all about his good friend, Lazarus, Jesus decided to linger on for 2 more days. Can you imagine that? 2 days, Jesus decided to linger. 48 hours far away from Lazarus. And then the word came later on that Jesus had died. But the story really is very important because Martha had the audacity to go out there and meet Jesus. And boy, was she ready. She really has something to say to Jesus. But that's really unusual because in that culture of shame and respect, it is very important to be respectful. But Martha was not really conventional in these regards. She wanted to find out, you know, from Jesus. And she told Jesus, Lord Jesus, if you had been here, you know, this would not have died. Your best friend Lazarus would have been alive if only you were physically present in our house. But you see, I'm with Martha for speaking in this manner. There are many times when I missed opportunities to be present in times of need. And when I'm absent into those moments, oh, my heart aches and there's this strange feeling in my gut. And I really regretted those moments when I could have been there. You know, just my presence would have made a big difference. But Martha was so bold in directing her attention to Jesus and his absence. Even after Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, the response of Martha was courageous. Lord, I know that. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God coming into the world. You see, Martha was precisely speaking or reciting the early creed of the movement, the cornerstone of the early faith. In my own understanding, this was really a bold, defiant stance. But come to think of it, defiance does not necessarily mean arrogance. If you speak up, it doesn't mean that you are being rude or being arrogant, especially to Jesus in this context where respect and shame are very important. When people do speak up because of one's passion, it doesn't necessarily mean that we are being arrogant or we are disrespecting other people. But sometimes it is translated, isn't it, in that way. But Martha was leaning on the promises she heard in the ministry of Jesus with the beloved community. She believed, but can Jesus really deliver on the promise that Jesus made to the community? You see, we do make a lot of promises, especially during this season of Lent. I made a lot of promise to get away from Facebook. But a couple of hours later, I decided to check my Facebook because there are so many things there that I need to find out to connect with people. And so, in a way, I was able to connect and pray with other people. But we make a lot of promises, not only during Lent, but in our own lifetime. But we know that the way to Easter is through the cross. In the poetry of the hymn, The Old Rugged Cross, you remember the first stanza? On a hill far away, an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. But if we look around in our world today, we continue to see emblem of suffering and shame, perhaps not too far from our own comfortable church. You know, huddled masses, for example, in Chicago, braving the harsh winds of winter and even spring. We see this in the plight of immigrant communities seeking dignity, and many are afraid, displaced men, women, children. Some people, they don't want to go out because they are terribly afraid. The other day, Vern and I had an opportunity to watch this powerful film. I don't want to give the plot away, but it's The Zookeeper's Wife. And the plot revolved around rescuing and receiving men and women from the Jewish ghetto during the war. And so they took this enormous leap because they emptied out the zoo and to bring the animals into Germany, and the zoo was empty. But there was suffering there, and the couple decided we can do something and to rescue the people in the ghetto in Warsaw. And so men and women were put in this truck, and they poured food scraps, and they were able to rescue about 300 people. And it's a real, story, the story of suffering and shame. For example, in the words of Jeremiah 31, there's a voice is heard in Ramah. Ramah is not too far from Bethany, not too far from Bethlehem. And they were crying because, you know, Rachel was weeping because her children are no longer here. Her children are no more. So Jesus came back from the Judean region, and he started to go back to Bethany. The first thing that the disciples said to Jesus is, Lord, are we going back there again? We are really comfortable. We are going on our way to Galilee. It's safer there. There's water. We can eat. There's fish, and we can be comfortable. Remember, Jesus, they were started to stone you. The Jews started to stone you. I think it's important to believe and to note that the designation of the Jews does not refer to the entire community or people. You know, the scripture especially is harsh in denouncing, especially during this period of Lent, the Jews and also later theologians of the church. Because we have many different stereotypes. And this is true not only of different religions or of those people who have no religion at all. But here's the observation of a highly respected rabbi, Rabbi Sacks. And he stated that there is a need for all of us to clear these spiritual minefields and build interfaith friendship. There are many hard and difficult texts in the Hebrew scripture, in the Bible, and even in the Islamic tradition. But he appealed, can we just take time to reinterpret these texts and perhaps we can find some value in our sacred tradition so that we can live peaceably and respectfully with other people as we proclaim our own faith. But the landscape and vocabulary of our faith keeps on changing. But the love of God is always steadfast. So Jesus went back. And the disciple Thomas told Jesus and his disciples, "Lord, let us go with you so that we may die with you." But listen to that, because it's the same Thomas later on after the resurrection of Jesus who said, "I need proof that Jesus is the one who died in the cross." But Mary and Martha were there. And Martha simply asked, "Lord, if you had been here, this would not have happened." But because of her voice and her courage and of her confession, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and I am the life." So Martha's confession of belief was really, as I say, a catalyst. And the faith that she received was enduring and unshakable. Because the faith that she received cannot be confined anymore in her own house. And Jesus saw her and renewed her faith. And not only renewed her faith, but raised Lazarus again into new life. God does not enjoy our suffering. God does not enjoy the death of our loved ones. But instead, God offers a new promise, a new life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.